Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Simulcast on the tube, CBS Sports Network, coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket Ken. Big hour coming up. We'll get into Steph Curry. And maybe we have the answer that Tiki and I sought at the start of the season. We very well might. We'll tell you what that question was, and then you'll obviously find out what the answer is. We'll do that coming up at 4:40 Eastern, 1:40 Pacific. Next segment, Shohei Ohtani, a one-man wrecking ball. I asserted earlier today on our Slack chain, it's the most magical thing I've ever seen. You know, I don't know if he's going to stay healthy. I don't know how long he can pitch and hit. But I know I've never quite seen this in all the years I've spent watching baseball. Even a young Griffey, I mean, a young A-Rod before you knew he was juiced up. Even Dwight Gooden at 8. This is incredible.
Yeah,
what Ohtani brings to the table,
no doubt. And I can't wait to have that conversation, BT. You might not actually. You might like this very much, BT.
Yes,
this just down from Adam Schefter.
Oh boy,
filed to ESPN. The Jets are trading quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers for a 2021 sixth-round pick and second and fourth-round picks in 2022. You like this? Because you now know exactly what's happening on draft Sunday, or draft Thursday, I should say, with the New York Jets at the number two pick. They are taking probably Zach Wilson at number two, because Sam Darnold is no longer in the equation. And look, this is the right thing to do for the Jets if they're planning on starting over and taking a quarterback. You can't have them both on the roster at the same time, because it's unfair to both of them. And so getting some assets for Sam Darnold, I think, is the best move, and it allows Sam Darnold to restart someplace else.
All right, let me absorb this for a second, will you?
Yes.
All right, so let me
they have a second, a fourth, and a sixth, but that's the best that they can
That's almost immaterial for a moment.
Yeah,
the bigger picture
Sam
is that Sam's gone.
Yes.
And
how do you feel about this, BT,
I'm a big Darnold fan, you know that. Yep. I told everybody on the show about 5 weeks ago that people that I spoke to, you know, my sources in the building, that at least people that knew what was going on in the building, that this is what was expected, that there was a split sentiment. I said on the show that I anticipated that Sam would be dealt. I have come along, and, you know, there was a point where I was very reticent to stamp this, going back like a year ago and even 5 months ago, as a move that I would make. But the ascension of Zach Wilson, who I love, the circumstances, the finances, hitting the reset button, new regime. I didn't think it was, not that it was implausible having Sam and Zach Wilson on the team together, though some have actually said that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, somebody said it over the weekend, somebody of prominence that, it was McCown.
Yeah.
Josh McCown, who's buddies with Sam, he said that Sam would be okay with going to camp with competition. You know,
it just wouldn't be fair, though.
Yeah, again, not untenable, because Sam Darnold's not that type of personality. But for the growth of the team, I think that this is necessary. I think it's the right move. Now, let me just see again from draft equity, a 2021 sixth rounder, whatever, second rounder, fourth rounder in 2022. You're not going to get a whole lot better than that for somebody who has thrown the ball to the wrong team too many times. Mm-hmm. Granted, we all know the circumstances, a complete absence of weapons, some of the worst coaching I've ever seen, an absolute Swiss cheese alignment as an offensive line. Sam Darnold, literally had no chance to succeed here. So
yeah, great. He was
happy.
He was failed by the organization and the coach, who admitted as such.
Correct. He was woefully failed by the organization. From the Jets' point of view, I agree with it. I expected this. I'm ready to embrace Zach Wilson. You know that. From the Carolina Panthers' perspective, I like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been saying for a long time, I didn't know what they were going to do with eight. Were they going to jump up to two and maybe trade with the Jets before the Niners jumped into three with Miami? Would they maybe try to jump five spots to try to take whomever at number three? Could they maybe make a move with the Falcons at number four? I didn't really know what they were going to do, but I knew they were going to do something.
Yes.
Because Matt Rhule is just not a Teddy Bridgewater guy. He respects him. He likes him. He's not going to marry himself to Teddy Bridgewater. And I don't disagree with that. Teddy Bridgewater is a slightly above average talent. I think Sam Darnold's more talented.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's more explosive.
Yep.
I think he's got more off-platform splash plays. I think it's a win for the Jets, and I think it's a win for Carolina, and I wish Sam a lot of luck.
Yeah,
I'm going to miss him. I really, on a personal level, like I really, really like Sam Darnold, the young man, what he stands for.
Don't disagree.
I know, and you see this too. Not once did he flinch in the media.
Complain.
And, yeah, redistribute the blame. It was always, I have to play better.
Yep.
And you know, I respect that. So I'm rooting for him, but I think the Jets did what the Jets had to do for the Jets.
And look, they had a rough locker room going on. You had a defensive player in Jamal Adams who was raising a stink every time he got a chance to get in front of the mic. And then you had Le'Veon Bell who basically did the same thing. Both of them forced their way out, one by trade, one via just get rid of you and go land someplace else. And so it was dysfunction. And then you had a head coach, as we mentioned before, and Adam Gase, who basically said, I failed my quarterback. I was brought here to help him and I failed him. And so Sam Darnold will land at a better place in Carolina because we know the coaching staff. We know the acumen of what these guys, or at least what they're trying to do. We know they had success on the college level, but what they're trying to bring to the NFL level. But what also tells me, because I do think Carolina was trying to move up, BT, as you mentioned, I do think that they were trying to, you know, jump inside the top four or five to try to get one of these quarterbacks, but they couldn't get there. We heard this, even though they didn't really say as much. Teddy Bridgewater's not their guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need a solution at QB, somewhat of a project to build upon. And Sam Darnold was the best option still available. Well, that being said, I like it a little bit less than you do for Carolina, BT.
Okay, go ahead.
The only reason is because he's on his fourth year. So this is his fourth season this year. His rookie contract expires. They're going to, I'm going to say, not pick up his fifth year option. Now, Carolina has that option as opposed to the Jets.
Yeah, well, but they could pick it up and rescind it, so it doesn't hurt to pick it up.
True.
Just
so maybe,
pull the back.
So maybe they will. Either way, you got to make a decision on him after a year.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily love that for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah. No, listen, Atiq, when you frame it that way, you are wedging him in there. Listen, at least this wasn't 2 months from now. At least he'll be there fully participating.
Agreed.
OTAs. Get him in the building, whatever's not virtual. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to go right away. But is it ideal? No. Was I ever subscribing to the thought that the Jets in this pipe dream would get a first-round pick for Sam Darnold like some people were? No, I never once thought that. And Santer's, what is Santer right? He says,
is that enough? Is that
second,
enough?
Second, fourth, and sixth. Is that enough? Yeah, let me tell you something. So the second
three
round
picks, man, for a guy that you don't want, basically.
That's number one.
That's actually pretty good.
The second round pick is a premium pick. It's not the NBA second round pick. A second round pick in the NFL is a monster pick. And what you can do is you can take the fourth and the sixth next year. Plus, they've got a ton of other fourth and sixth as well, and package that. I don't have the trade, you know, the trade board in front of me. You
matrix.
Can't package the fourth and the sixth for a third.
Yeah, of course
you can.
Yeah, you can move those picks around if you so desire.
Yeah, and their GM has proven very adept so far, Joe Douglas, at working trades and bringing in a lot of equity. Jamal Adams, two first-round picks. Sam Darnold, damaged goods in the eyes of most, though I think he's salvageable. I think you might as well to an extent.
Yep.
But damaged goods for most people, right?
Yeah.
You get three picks for the guy.
True. And they already have two, right?
Two what?
First round picks this year. They have the
They've got number 23 and they've got number 2.
That's right, from the Seattle Seahawks.
And they've got two next year.
That's exactly right. So they're positioned.
Oh, absolutely.
And so it makes sense from a Jets standpoint. If you really just stop and think about it, you're going to start over with whoever you draft at quarterback. You have now an extra first round pick this year. And then two first-round picks next year. So you're giving yourself like this two-year window to try to build a good team around whoever your new quarterback is, presumably Zach Wilson, which is how I would do it. This is how I would go about it.
They're taking Zach Wilson.
Right, of course. This is how I would go about it as well, as opposed to holding on to Sam Darnold. This is the other option. And then drafting, I don't know, say whoever, or moving down, whatever. Doing whatever you with your first two
Chase,
round picks this
Smith,
year.
Sewell.
Exactly. Chasing something that might not fit into the right time frame for Sam Darnold. You just reset the clock on your quarterback, and then you can build around him the correct way.
Yep.
Something they didn't do for Sam Darnold.
Correct. I think that's the intelligent way to look at it. One thing your partner has learned, we have to stop asking Santa for these fat heads. We're now 0-2. I mean,
make that mistake again, did you?
It's getting stupid at this point.
Yeah, for those who missed this, BT bought a Kristaps Porzingis fat head. Santa brought it, yep.
A couple years ago.
For Colton.
Got
on
traded.
The wall, traded.
And now, it ripped Sam my Darnold, heart out. To take that
did he have
down.
A jersey? Please tell me he didn't have a jersey.
Yeah, of course he's got Sam Darnold jerseys.
God.
Of course. You know BT, he does. He's got multiple ones.
The kid's
got
to make a Pro Bowl before you can.
What do you want, dude? What do you want me to do?
I'm just giving you some advice.
My firstborn.
I'm giving you advice.
Well, but we should have given him it years ago, but give it to me now.
Go to a Pro Bowl and then buy a jersey.
Stop. You'll have a Zach Wilson one draft night. Stop. Don't waste your time with that. Now, the Porzingis fathead is in the trash.
Oh, man.
And now the Darnold one's coming down. And he loves Judge, but Judge gets hurt a lot. So I'm almost, I don't even want to really say. He's got smaller ones of Judge, but.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. It's, I knew it was coming, and I am a little, saddened's probably strong, I'm in my 40s here, Sam Darnold, but I really like the kid.
Yeah.
I invested a lot of energy defending Sam Darnold to those clowns who didn't take the time to incorporate how woeful the Jets were in insulating him properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was my job to at least contextualize the failures of the young man. Now, when you come back and you say, all right, I get that, but he also threw a lot of picks at USC.
He did.
And no, maybe this is just who he is. But I trust Matt Rhule. Like, if I'm a Panther fan right now, I think I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, look, if the Panthers, when you look at their roster, and don't forget, Joe Brady is their offensive coordinator, who is, obviously a national champion at LSU, and then very highly sought after and thought of in the NFL, because he even got some mild interest at being a head coach with this latest cycle of hiring at the head coaching position. But, DJ Moore is there, Robbie Anderson, who doesn't get a ton of credit for how good he actually is.
Right, he played with Sam.
Exactly.
Reunited. Exactly. It was his best target.
Christian McCaffrey, pray for his health if you're the Carolina Panthers, because he's such, even if he doesn't have to be the 100% be-all, end-all, he is the catalyst for what makes any offense go.
Mm-hmm.
So you pray for his health, and your defense is just slowly getting better. Right, Carolina, they don't see themselves as a rebuilding team. They see themselves as opportunistic in a division that, at some point Tom Brady's going to be aged out, right? Matt Ryan at some point is going to be aged out. And so when you look at their division, it feels like it's just within grasp. Maybe not next year, but in the very short future, the division will be up for grabs for them.
And if Sam plays well, there's no reason why you're not going to mess around with the wild card here.
That's right.
Because who knows about the Falcons? We'll see what they do. You mentioned Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not going anywhere yet. But the Saints, and we were going to start the segment talking about what the Saints might do.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, breaking news, and we had a shift to this. But Kyle Trask, who I like. I liked I remember in September I was raving about this kid. And as a pro, I liked him a lot more than you did. But I'm even surprised, I'm sure it's a bit of a smokescreen. I don't trust anything, and I say that with a smile, that Sean Payton puts out there for public consumption pertaining to the quarterback spot. But if they ever drafted Kyle Trask, I would trust Sean Payton's instincts. What do you think about this rumbling? For those who missed they're attached right now. At least the word is that they like Kyle Trask, and they might draft him.
I'm trying to find his grade right now, like where everybody thinks he is. I mean, he slowly climbed the list of top quarterbacks during this past season because he was so explosive. I mean, it was, and a lot of that was because he had one of the best, I'm going to call him a slash, tight end slash wide receivers in Kyle Pitts down at Florida. But, I mean, he's sitting somewhere around 6 or 7 on most people's estimations, Kyle Trask, probably 6, which puts him in as a second-round pick, most likely, Kyle Trask. And I think that's a good value for him. The question is, in 2021, as a relative stable, not stable, but like stuck quarterback, does it work in the NFL in 2021? It's because he's got a good arm. Mostly it's timing throws, not a cannon. But he's got a good arm. He's big, so he's got the size, but he's not an athlete. And so it's got to be the right offense, that and one that he can learn and execute. But when I look at Kyle Trask potentially to the New Orleans Saints, what I actually see is a younger Jameis Winston, even not that much younger. He's only 4 years younger than Jameis Winston because he's a little bit older. Right? He's 23 years old already, Kyle Trask. And so what I see is them, if they do draft him in the second round, maybe even if he falls to the third, you go grab him. You just create a competition of the same guy. It doesn't make much sense to me if I'm the New Orleans Saints to go after Kyle Trask.
Yeah, I don't know that I could justify taking him in round one.
No.
If he slips to round two, which I thought for sure he would before, you know, this rumbling, this rumor, this innuendo about the Saints' connection to him, and you want to scoot up and you want to draft him even early in round two, that's a little bit more palatable for me.
Where are the Saints? The Saints are drafting 28.
I mean, so you're going to have to scoot up a lot,
I mean, I
would think, you know, in round two.
Yeah.
Or...
Unless they take in round one.
They could. You know?
Maybe.
You could even drop back a few slots and, you know, go from 28 to 31 or 32, kind of like the Ravens did. Make sure you ensure, if you love them that much, you get that extra fifth year for evaluation as a first-round pick versus a second or beyond. We'll see. But big story there. This is something that we've talked about a lot, speculated about a lot.
Yep.
The Jets finally pull the trigger. They move on from Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson. Come on down, brother. It's your turn. He will absolutely be a Jet, as we surmised many times on the show. All right, coming up, Shohei Ohtani. One-man show, but how sustainable is it? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. The Tiki and Tierney Show brought to you by Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness and the official ladder of professional contractors everywhere. Werner, the number one pro ladder brand. So that's that's a little newsworthy there in the middle of nowhere. We I think most of us thought it was coming. I told you that it was going to come, but still, when it actually happens,
it's still
a bit of a surprise. So Sam Darnold going to the Panthers. We just spent some time on that. If you guys wanted to hit us on Twitter, get some thoughts from a Jets perspective, from a Panthers perspective. And we didn't even really get to tie this in before we get to Ohtani here, Teague. Also from the perspective of maybe other teams that were connected to Darnold, maybe a Washington, maybe the Bears, on some cursory level teams. We know who's kind of in the quarterback market. I wonder if there's fan bases out there saying, man, we would have given up that for Sam.
Yeah, the Bears are interesting because they feel like Andy Dalton gives them the best shot because he's a veteran. They have a team that's ready to win, so somewhat ready to win. And, there's no question mark. It's not like you got to develop him into someone who's viable on this level. He's made Pro Bowls. He's been to the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. Where Sam Darnold is more of a project. It's more of a forward-thinking view. It's almost like with Andy Dalton, you can acquire and plug in. With Sam Darnold, it's you acquire, you plug him in, but you don't really know what the result's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
It could be great, or it could be like what we've seen for the last 3 years in New York. And so I think the Bears are at a different spot than Carolina is.
Okay, that's a good distinction. I got you. All right, so let's get to some baseball here. Last night, Sunday Night Baseball,
yes.
That's usually something I keep on in the background on a lazy Sunday night. I'll always check in, no matter who's on, check my fantasy team, get a sense of the league, you know, A-Rod for all his corniness, and, you know, he's always saying something wacky. Vasgersian's very talented. So I like, even though A-Rod's a bit of a cornball, he still does a pretty decent job. And I like the broadcast. I was watching it, and last night was different. It wasn't just on in the background. Like, I was watching Ohtani.
Now, and now you gotta, you have to clarify and give us context. I got to find your exact quote. Where the heck is it today? BT was talking about, this is the most exciting. And I've, wait, hold on.
Well, how do you have the quote? Did you write it down?
No, you wrote, you put it on.
I'll tell you what I said.
Yes, go ahead.
Did Samter repurpose it or no?
No.
Okay, I'll tell you. I said that Ohtani is the most exciting thing. I mean, he's not an inanimate object thing, but you know what I mean. In all the years I've watched baseball, I have never seen something so appealing, so interesting.
Yes.
Now, I threw some names out for you.
Yes, definitely mix in a 20. This is what you said on the Slack. Definitely mix in a 20. That's the 20 segment, which we're in right now.
Yep.
Most exciting thing to happen to baseball in my lifetime.
It's true.
In your lifetime,
BT? In my lifetime.
Okay, come
now,
on, please.
Now, full disclosure.
Expound.
Okay. So, you know, Mattingly's my all-time favorite athlete. It didn't matter how bad the Yankees were, and they had a couple lean years with Donnie, late 80s, Stump Merrill, they were terrible, and then they got good.
Yep.
Or how bad Don Mattingly's back was, let alone when he was the MVP in 85, and he should have won it in 86 as well when Clemens won it. No matter what, no matter how old I was, when Mattingly stepped in the batter's box, I was like a zombie. Yeah. I was fixated, right?
Yeah. And then, so God forbid, different. He hit a home run. Greatest moment of my life!
Well, when he went deep in the playoffs, finally.
That's what I mean.
Oh, my God. That was just incredible. Well, I was at his first game when he had a couple knocks in the playoff series against Seattle, and then we lost in Game 5 of the Kingdome when Griffey comes racing around from first base, when Edgar rips the double down to left field line. Gerald Williams, there's nothing. Nothing, Gerald Williams. It's not his fault. Leyritson. What I don't. The point is that that's my personal connection from my heart, from my fandom. Right. In terms of just being like intoxicated by watching somebody, mesmerized, watching somebody play baseball, I've seen two people jump out. And as a Yankee fan, I got to give it up. There was nothing like Dwight Gooden in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
When Dwight Gooden towed the rubber. Before we knew about cocaine, before his arm, like I'm talking the first 2.5 years of Dwight Gooden with that athletically fluid, explosive windup, just the way he looked, the fast. Dwight Gooden was a one-man show, and the other's Griffey, jumping over walls, hitting bombs. I mean, just incredible. Shohei Ohtani is different because you never have to wait for him to do his. When he's on the mound and he's hitting, you know, all right. Even though Dwight Gooden hit a few home runs as a pitcher, he can actually swing the bat a little bit. And Griffey's obviously a great defensive player. There's just a different spotlight that's on Ohtani. Tiki, in 13 minutes, he throws a baseball 101 miles an hour, which, by the way, is the fastest pitch recorded this season.
Yep.
And then he hits one, and it's not even his free. He's going to hit one that well over 500 feet at some point. Book it, right? 451 feet, exit velo 115 on a fastball that you said correctly wasn't even at the letters. It was more his shoulder.
Yep.
And it was a little outside, actually.
Yeah.
And he pulled it to right center. And what I didn't know that he had to this extent was like the energy and like the fierceness on the mound. You see him kind of, I don't want to say he was talking smack.
Yeah.
But after a couple strikeouts, like yelling, the gyrations, like, he is the best thing baseball's had in my lifetime.
Yeah, and
I stand by that statement.
He has that trio right now, just talking about his pitching, his stuff. It's really, he's got four pitches, but the three are just, it makes him unhittable. Because when you can throw over 100, right, and you have that cutter that just dies, just dips just a little bit.
Well, splitter is insane.
Well, the splitter, the splitter dips just a little bit.
Because it looks like a fastball.
Exactly. So, and it's 91, so it's 10 miles an hour different than what you're looking at when he's throwing a fastball, but it dives on you. And then he's got the changeup. It comes in about 85. It's just, how do you hit him? You can't. And that's why in this game, until they had a series of fielding blunders that ended up hurting his ankle a little bit. He only given up one run in five innings. I mean, he was dominant on the mound, and obviously you know he's going to be dominant at the plate because of his size and his athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
That home run that you were talking about that he hit, I mean, he had to stand up to hit that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was his natural swing. He had to rise up and then get it and then pull it, which is an impossible thing for most people to do.
Mm-hmm.
His athleticism is finally starting to shine through.
Yep.
And I think it's because one, he's healthy, and then two, he finally got like an American baseball player's body, if that makes sense, right? It's a different game in Japan, whereas in the United States, you gotta have to hit home runs. That is, you gotta be jacked.
And you don't have to be jacked at home. I gotta disagree. You don't have to be jacked at home runs. You've got to have the bat speed. You don't have to be jacked to hit home runs.
Well, to hit them like that, you do.
Well, to hit them 450 with 450 exit velo, that's a little different.
He's up there with that hit, like Aaron Judge, like Pete Alonso, like all these great home run hitters. Stanton
hits bombs when he hits them. Yeah,
like it's not just getting it over the fence. Uh-huh. It's a no doubter when it leaves his bat.
He's come to the point now, and it's happened very quickly because we missed him when he was hurt. He steps into the batter's box. It's like Bonzian.
Yeah,
it's like Barry Bonds. And again, Bonds, you know, all the PEDs and, you know, distortion of the record books and what was authentic, what was not, that whole conversation, we know, come on. But when Barry Bonds stepped in the batter's box, we knew that he was getting one pitch in at bat if he's lucky.
Yep.
It's probably a borderline strike. And
well, this wasn't a strike.
No, that's true, too. That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
It was the first pitch, and it was high. Let me keep this away from him. He can't reach this.
Yeah, and the difference here, too, though, is he's got Mike Trout hitting behind him. Now, for a little bit, you know, Bonds at Kent, but he never had anybody like Mike Trout behind him. In Pittsburgh, like you had Bonilla, you had some good, Andy Van Slyke was earlier, but you had some good players. You got Mike Trout behind you. So, and he's still only 30, Mike Trout. So you've got somebody who is now feeling himself in Ohtani.
Yep.
And I love what Madden did. Madden treated him. It's the exact opposite of, all right, get him out. You know, it's fourth inning. He's got 74. No.
Let him go.
Figure it out, man. Figure it out. You're a supreme 6'5" athlete who runs, who's got a cannon, who's got power to just that you bleed power. Let him figure it out.
Yep.
And he did. The strikeout pitch was just too good of a pitch.
Yep.
I believe that was a split. I think that was a slider where his catcher just couldn't corral it. And then obviously the throw to first base was errant. And then the throw to home, I mean, that could have been a torn ACL. That could have been a dislocated ankle. I mean, he averted disaster narrowly.
Yeah.
But he is special.
Yeah, I think it was the bad throw from the second baseman.
Backing up.
Yeah, backing up. It was high, so that made him – he was actually in the right position.
The second baseman or the pitcher?
No, the pitcher, Ohtani.
Oh, yeah, of course.
At home plate, he was in the right position, but he saw as soon as the second baseman released it, it was high, so he backed up into the base path, right, just to try to grab it, and then he came down and got slid under, got taken out.
Yeah.
But to your point about, you know, his skip – he was, go back out there. You're all right. You walk it off. You feel good. All right, go back out there. And then ultimately cooler heads or smarter heads prevailed, and they pulled him, and now he's out for the day, taking a day of rest. But apparently no damage seemingly to his ankle.
Yeah.
And he should be good to go pretty soon.
Yeah, I guess they said last night that he would be available to pinch hit today, but they were going to not use him.
Yeah.
But now I guess I heard today earlier that he might actually pinch it. So he's obviously fine, whether or not, you know, and it's going to be so interesting because, you know, he threw a lot of high leverage pitches, guys on base. He walked, I think, at least four. And he's got to tighten up his control a little bit.
He hasn't done this in a couple seasons, right?
I understand. And A-Rod said it, and this was pretty salient. You know, he's got to get to a point where he understands you're not striking somebody out on the first pitch. So where it's a little less effort filled, and you kind of coast a little bit, and you pick spots in the lineup where you really have to juice it up.
Yeah.
That's what the great ones do.
Yeah.
The difference, I mentioned Dwight Gooden before, you know, when Dwight Gooden was young, and obviously, you know, the Seavers, the Gibsons, all the great arms, the Clemenses, these guys can navigate a lineup back then. And no, all right, well, I have 7, 8, 9 coming up. Trying to get by with my C-plus stuff here. I can kind of just cruise a little. Can't do that in 2021. Everybody can take you deep.
Right, which is why a lot of these guys end up only going 5 or so innings. But they're 3-1, BT. That's what I know they are. Up. I mean, we've been talking for years. Mike Trout's my best player in baseball. When are they going to put a good enough team around them? They're 3-1 right now against the White Sox, who are supposed to be good this season.
Yep.
The Astros, who are there playing tonight and tomorrow. The Astros are sitting at the top of the West. With a 4-0. They're 4-0.
Yeah, they got Lance McCullers back. He had a great start. He looked pretty sharp. Yep.
So this is the test. This is what we'll see with the Angels. They get it. They got it early, but so far they're passing it. 3 out of 4 they took against the White Sox.
I agree. I think they'll be ready. They just signed their second baseman to an extension. Makes a lot of contact. Good team guy. They got some players. I mean, they picked up Rendon. A lot of people think he could win the MVP. That's time. I mean, it's time. I wanted to see the Angels get Bauer rather than the Dodgers. I thought that would have been awesome. But you're right. A great start. 3 out of 4 Ohtani. He escaped injury. And he's a one-man show, and I stand by what I said. Outside of Griffey and a young, Dwight Gooden, in my lifetime, and I actually think Ohtani surpasses that based on his two-way prowess, he is just a spectacle like I've never seen, and I've been watching baseball my entire life. It's sport I know best, so he's a gift. Let's get the update from Ack. All right, coming up after that, it looks like Steph Curry can't do what we wanted to see him do. We'll tell you what that is next after Axe Update right now. All right, Tiki and Tier. Busy show. Breaking news. Sam Darnold on the move, going to Carolina. Got the game tonight. Little Ohtani. I'm pretty stacked here. Time now for Doing More, brought to you by the Home Depot. Bring on spring with innovative help from the Home Depot mobile app. Download it today. Get started on spring projects. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. And facing his former team yesterday, Aaron Gordon dropped in 24 points. He was very efficient as well, as he shot 10 out of 13, Denver's 119-109 win over Orlando. And Denver's now undefeated since picking up Gordon. Remember, he's a good defensive player as well. And we told you that at the trade deadline. So they scooped him up, and they're within a game of the Clippers. Here come the Denver Nuggets for a game, the third seed, just a game out. Third seed in the Western Conference, Doing More. Brought to you by the Home Depot. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. I got my boy Jerry Ferrara. If you follow us on social media, we've had this ridiculously long give and take about Darnold. Of course, he's got to chime in, texting me. What do you think about the Darnold trade? Leave me alone, Turtle. I don't have time for you. go put on the Easter Bunny suit that you were rocking when you...
I saw that on social media.
But you don't know the show.
No, I don't.
So you don't get the context of that scene, do you?
I don't. But I do know that the Easter Bunny and human size scares the hell out of some kids.
Yes, that is true. And what they were trying to do that night would actually scare the hell out of me as an adult. I got to make sure I'm clean about this, mindful of kids, etc. So Johnny Drama, I guess
this is on the show Entourage.
It's on the show Entourage. Johnny was in a little situation, basically Turtle was in the situation. I can't even say the name because it would give it away. And that, there's certain things we just don't say on the show.
Agreed.
And, he caught himself in a real rough spot, and, it was one of the funnier moments, and he tweets that out every Easter. He was in the Easter Bunny suit. If you saw it, you know where I'm going. If you didn't, does it really matter? It's 10 years ago at this point. Who cares? All right. Teak, you and I had a question. And we wanted an answer to me, and I don't think you were too far behind me on this. To me, this was the most intriguing question entering the 2020-2021 NBA season. And it wasn't about LeBron because he already got the chip.
Yep.
What about AD? Got the chip. Wasn't necessarily about Giannis to me, even with back-to-back MVPs. I don't view the Bucks as a championship team. Certainly the Nets, with Kevin Durant coming back with the Achilles before James Harden, that was a huge storyline. But for me, the most meaningful question that I wanted answered, and it looks like we've got our answer now, is would Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, multi-MVPs, multi-time champion, all right, indisputable great of the game, icon of the game, transcendent. He changed the game.
Yes.
Would Steph Curry be able to elevate the Warriors without a star-studded cast around him in a sport, unlike football, unlike baseball, that even hockey, you have a great goal scorer. If you have a bad netminder, you're not winning, and vice versa. If you don't score goals, I don't care how good your goalie is, you're probably not going to win a cup. Team sports, you need a team. But in the NBA, it's the one sport where one great superstar can elevate at least to a level of in the mix, right, for a championship. And my thought was that he would be unable to do that, which is why I picked the Warriors, I believe, to finish eighth or seventh, but definitely at the bottom of the Western Conference. And it looks like we have our answer, Teak. They've lost 7 of 8. They're 23-27. They're going nowhere, and I got the answer to the question, and I thought that this would be the answer, but I wanted this answer as a basketball fan, as a fervent fan. I needed the question answered. Can Curry elevate? And the answer is no.
I agree with you, but it's not all his fault, BT. Steph Curry is one of those players who is going to do what he does regardless of who's around him, right? Whether if he's playing with two other superstars, and I'll use superstars here, meaning Klay Thompson and
Draymond?
KD, Kevin Durant.
Gotcha.
Right? He's going to go score 37 points a game. Like, he's going to be elite like that. Mm-hmm. The problem is, and they'll be good. Collectively, they'll be a good team. The problem becomes when those guys around him are not Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson. They are sub 15 PER guys. Everyone else is sub 15 PER on this team. There's one guy who's above average on this team, and it's Steph Curry. Scored 37 points last night, BT, doing all that he possibly can. Yet this young team, who we thought some of these guys would like evolve. Andrew Wiggins, he hasn't really evolved.
No.
He's kind of still the same player we thought he was when he got there, and Steve Kerr hasn't made him any better, and he hasn't gotten any better. And so as a result, it's really Steph Curry and everybody else. And that's just, it's impossible for him to lift and win in that type of situation. Now, that being said, it's still on him. You know what I mean? It's still on him to be able to find ways to win some of those games and be the leader, the catalyst to correct some of those mistakes that have been happening over and over and over and over again for this Golden State Warriors team. I mean, they talked about it last night, BT. They had 26 fouls last night and only 25 assists. Well, that's not the Warriors we're used to.
No. I mean, but that doesn't change how I feel about the question and the equation here. I mean, he did not elevate, and he will not elevate. So I think that I understand there's circumstances to it. Yeah, they didn't have a lot around them, understood, but I'm not asking him to be a top two or a top three seed. I expected a lot more than this. And I'll tell you what, and I guarantee I'll get resistance on this, and that's fine. I expect it, and I embrace it. But his inability to elevate the Warriors beyond, you know, where they are now, to me, alters where I put him on the all-time list myself. Personally. I don't know if we lost Teak there. Teak, we lose you, buddy?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
Okay. I've got to penalize him a little bit for
yes.
his inability to elevate the Warriors
yeah,
this year.
Yeah, no, I can't dispute that, BT. I'm just saying it's not all his fault. And the other thing, you know, so there were moments and early in LeBron's career. Remember, he's in Cleveland. There's not a ton of talent. I mean, there's some good players, some good, average guys, right? Where and there were points in a game where you just have to be able to take it over. You know what I mean? You have to be able to physically dominate the opponent. And the one, and I remember having this conversation with you when we had this question at the beginning of the season, BT. It's, can Steph do that? And I think the problem where he's at a disadvantage is that physically he's not going to dominate you. You know what I mean? You know, he's not going to, get into the lane and like demoralize you and dunk on you. Yeah, he can sit around the perimeter and knock down 3-point shots and do XYZ over and over again. But like that physical dominance that LeBron used to have in Cleveland, Steph doesn't have the ability to do that. And so you kind of always knew this answer, right? Even though we left the question out there to see if he could do the absolutely improbable, mm-hmm. we kind of knew the answer already, right?
Yeah. I think we did. Because, Mike, I don't know. Well, Santhor can't even answer us. I would love to know. I think it was 7th or 8th. The answer lies in where we selected the Warriors in our preseason predictions.
Yeah.
It's not like we were lulled into this false sense of security or belief that he would elevate them to a top three, top four spot. I believe I had them 7, maybe 8, and I believe you had them in the same exact vicinity.
Yeah, agreed. Look, they're going to make the postseason because it's 10, even though Draymond Green doesn't want to chase the play-in spot. It's not like he's going to say, well, I'm not going to play anyway, and I don't want to play in the playoffs. They're going to get there, I believe, but when they get there, I are you expecting anything out of them?
No.
I mean, I'm not.
No.
I don't think that the level of play can be risen, if that makes sense. Right?
It does. You're right. I think that your point about his inability to, really impose his will on a game, and I don't mean from a shooting perspective. He's the greatest shooter of all time. It's not even close at this point. But, his physical prowess, you think about the NBA history, somewhat recent history. I don't know, forget about 50s, 60s, 70s, but how many small, diminutive, and he's relatively diminutive, even though he's 6'3", but based yep. on the stars of the game, how many of those smallest type players really elevated a team to a championship or a top finish at a conference without a lot around them? And yeah. the answer is, I'll give you two. I'll give you Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
All right. Bill Laimbeer was good, but not a superstar. Mm-hmm. You know, they had a rotating cast. You had Adrian Dantley one year. Then you had Mark Aguirre.
I'm interested who you're going to pull for the second one.
Oh, it's going to be Allen Iverson, who took him to the NBA Finals.
Yes, that's right.
That's it. That's right. it to me. But, now, yeah, you know, but they went to the Archibald, maybe, but
they went to the finals and won one game.
You know no, I mean? but they still represented the Eastern Conference.
I hear you.
I mean, and by the way, that Sixers team had less talent than that Pistons team. I mean, you talk no disrespect, but mm-hmm. Eric Snow, the Vanilla Gorilla, Matt Geiger was their center. You know, Aaron McKee was a very good defensive player, but. I mean, if you're 25 years old, do you even know who Aaron McKee is? Have you even heard his name?
No, you don't.
No, you don't hear his name when you talk about great NBA players. So, I mean, Allen Iverson, really, it was the union, even though they always battled, the great head coach, who was a pain in the ass, in Larry Brown, mm-hmm. and a great player who was a pain in the behind as well, in Allen Iverson. I can't think of any other smallish player to elevate. You know, even Damian Lillard has a rough time doing it. Damian Lillard's a beast. I mean, outside of Isaiah and AI, I can't think of anybody. Maybe Tiny Archibald, but that's before our time.
All right, BT, you had the Golden State Warriors at eight.
Eight. Eighth in the Western Conference.
Eighth in the Western Conference.
Yep.
Obviously, they'll be in the play-in game with the Pelicans who you had. You had the Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies at 9 and 10.
All right, there we go.
I actually had the Golden State Warriors a little bit higher than you thought.
Who'd you have?
Six.
Oh, what am I giving you credit for? Lumping it with me.
Well, you know what?
That six is still not.
Yeah, well, the problem is I didn't believe in the Suns. And also I knew the Trailblazers, they're always good, but they always seem to find themselves right where they find themselves. You know what I mean? Like the sixth or seventh seed. So I had the Trailblazers down farther than they actually deserve.
Give me your top eight in order. Western Conference. Go.
So Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets,
Lakers,
Mavericks,
Clippers, Denver, Mavericks. Okay.
Mm, yeah. We both missed on.
Yeah, for sure.
Utah, which is obviously they're leading the West right now. Golden State, Portland, Houston Rockets.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but this is still James Harden. I mean, if James Harden's still on the squad, they're at least in the postseason.
Yeah, probably. I don't know about that for sure.
New Orleans and Phoenix.
Who were my top eight in order?
You had Lakers, Nuggets. You had Nuggets up there. They're moving up.
Love the Nuggets. You know that. I always give Denver respect.
You had the Mavericks at three.
All right, my bad. All right.
Clippers, Portland, Phoenix Suns, Jazz, Golden State Warriors at eight, and the Pelicans and the Grizzlies in the play-in.
I think we're pretty much hit it pretty well. I don't think it was gross misrepresentation.
The Lakers are missing both of their stars. So, I mean, we can't even truly evaluate them right now.
Okay. So, one man's trash, another man's treasure. Is Sam Darnold salvageable? Next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.